This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, I talked to Dr. Jennifer Bolden and graduate students Emma Martin and Amber Spence. Dr. Bolden is a director of the Ecotoxicology Research Facility and is professor of environmental biology at Arkansas State University. Bolden talks about the research.
We have numerous water quality grants that we work on that support our students and also support the grant as well. They fulfill the grant. Most of them are considered what we call 319 grants, which are their EPA grants for non-point source runoff, and they're distributed through in Arkansas through the Arkansas Natural Resource Commission. We also have one grant that Emma's working on from the USDA that is actually assessing agricultural ditches, the water quality in agricultural ditches, and how the different biota affect the water quality and the water quality affects the biota.
All right. Tell us about, Dr. Bolden, how this water research that y'all are doing is making an impact and will make future impacts in the surrounding community, especially in the agriculture fields.
The water quality data that we measure is actually put into a database, and then that's used to further assess different like sub-watersheds or different areas that may be what we consider hot spots or areas that need remediation. And so then the agencies like the USDA, will NRCS, will go in and encourage the farmers to implement more management practices in those areas to improve the water quality.
And when you're talking about water quality, how do you define that, if you don't mind, please?
Well, we measure quite a few parameters, and really that's how it's defined. Probably the most important ones in agricultural runoff is the suspended sediments, and that's actually topsoil that's runoff from the agricultural fields, and it's suspended in the water, so it's considered a suspended sediment. And also nutrients. As you know, nutrients are added to the production fields to increase the yield. Those, again, when it rains, wash into the waterways as well, too. And so those nutrients in the suspended sediments can make their way all the way down through the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico, which not only affect our local water resources, but also affect ultimately the hypoxia in the Gulf of Mexico.
Dr. Jennifer Bolden joins us as well as Emma Martin and Amber Spence here on the Created State podcast on KASU. Now, Emma and Amber are master's students. They've been working in research. Emma, first of all, welcome to the Created State podcast. Tell us about your research and kind of what you've been doing to work with Dr. Bolden, please.
Sure. Well, I started a year ago, almost in September of last year, on a project looking at how vegetation in agricultural ditches affects the water quality. And so that was kind of the basic requirements for that grant, looking at quantifying the vegetation and then also monitoring the water quality weekly. And from that, I expanded upon it to see how the different biota in these ditches are thriving or not. So I'm also looking at macroinvertebrates, birds, amphibians, reptiles. And yeah, I guess that covers it. So kind of an ecosystem perspective of the community structure in these ditches.
And in this research, what have been some of the takeaways and things you've been able to take away from the research so far?
I really enjoy being able to create my own project and implement my own ideas and see how things work or don't work. So some of the surveys were methodologies that I developed myself, such as the vegetation surveys, based on previous research, but kind of tweaking it to my own needs. So that learning process has been really interesting for me.
Fantastic. Amber, let's go ahead and talk to you. Tell us about your research, if you don't mind, please.
So I'm also working under a grant, a 319 grant that Dr. Bolden has just recently talked to you about. Mm-hmm. And I'm monitoring a watershed up in northeast Arkansas. I'm looking at a variety of parameters, just assessing the water quality. And then in addition to that, I'm looking at the immune response of cricket frogs in these ditches, these agricultural ditches, to see if they're being affected by any of the runoff from the agricultural fields that are adjacent to these ditches.
Right. And with this research, how has that been going so far? And what are your takeaways in that research?
It's going pretty well so far. Whenever you're doing field research, it is always an adventure and a surprise, because every time you go out to your fields, you never know what you're going to find in these ditches based on the weather patterns and other sort of activities that have been going on. Additionally, I was not expecting to have as much of an experience of talking with the farmers and the people in the area. They come up to you, they ask you what you're doing with the vials, what you're filtering, and you get to have a conversation about them and their land and the fields around the ditches, and you really get a great perspective of how they view these ditches, which I was not expecting to encounter as much as I do.
And with that, I know it's an opportunity for them to kind of learn what you're doing, but also for you to learn kind of what they're doing as well.
Exactly. It's a really great just overview of the history of the land and what they're doing now and just how they view this system, which really helps you connect with them in a way to help further protect these systems and make sure that they're being monitored correctly and then remediated as necessary.
Amber Spence, Emma Martin, and Dr. Jennifer Bolden joining us here on the Created State podcast. Dr. Bolden, as you've been working with Emma and Amber on this, kind of your thoughts on the work that they've been doing and how you've been working with them on this.
Well, they work, when they come in as a student, they work basically, they're supported by this grant, the grants that we've described, and these water quality grants. And they, I asked them each to come up with a project on their own, like, you know, that will supplement the grant, basically. And Amber, again, is working with the cricket frogs, and so that's what her interest is. So it gives them a little bit of ownership with the grant, and I think it keeps them more excited about, you know, about the grant, because I guess it can get a little bit boring doing the same thing every week. But when you have a special project that's really piques your interest, you know, it keeps you interested in it. And Emma as well has come up with the different surveys to do more of a ecological, you know, or ecosystem approach to her project too, in these, you know, agricultural ditches. So it's been interesting, and it's been really exciting to see them get excited about their projects.
And so how did you all, Emma, how did you come up with the idea for what you're doing in that regard? And I'm going to ask Amber the same thing as well. You have a little bit of interest in the cricket frogs, but how did you come up with your idea for that?
That's a really great question. So I came to A-State really interested in birds. And birds are kind of difficult to study because they don't have high sight fidelity, so they don't stay in the same place for very long. Or rather, they move around up to, you know, a couple miles. So when you're studying sites that are only, you know, quarter mile apart, it's hard to say, all right, the birds at this one location are reflecting the water quality in that location or something like that. So then I began to think of how I can expand upon this but still incorporate birds. So I was thinking, you know, birds eat, you know, amphibians and reptiles, and then amphibians and reptiles also eat, you know, macroinvertebrates. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, why not just survey everything and try and understand kind of the food web, the different processes. If one group is more predominant there, then maybe the other ones are thriving or not. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Right. And so as it's been evolving, how has that been working out? How have you been feeling about that? Has it been kind of going and evolving?
It makes it more work, but but in a fun way. So I plan to do these surveys in the spring and the fall to try and get different times of year when things are in their different stages of life, especially macroinvertebrates. So I think it's been a learning process. I've only ever done bird surveys before, so I had to learn how to do macroinvertebrate surveying and then also amphibian and reptile surveying. So I took a herpetology class here. It was really, really helpful. And A-State's just been really great at developing my skill set, I suppose.
And we're talking with Emma Martin. So how long have you been at Arkansas State?
I moved here in, I guess, September of last year because I came from Virginia. Mm-hmm. I was working as a consultant for a firm outside of D.C. that focused on oil and gas. So my background's in geography, actually, so I know a lot about GIS. But I wanted to focus more on environmental science because that's always been an interest to me. And so this has kind of transitioned me into more biological and environmental sciences.
Right. And so why'd you pick Arkansas State?
I felt that I had a lot of flexibility in being able to choose my own project and also just the funding opportunities, the people that I met here were all just really suitable to being able to get my master's and do it fairly quickly.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Amber, let's talk to you, Amber Spence. Tell us about how you got interested in your in what your research is with cricket frogs.
So as an undergraduate, I worked in an amphibian ecology lab, and I worked with a couple species of frogs, and I looked at their responses to salt concentrations in the water. And so as I applied to grad schools and I found my way at Arkansas State University and I needed to add an additional component to my project, as I was doing some literature search, I ran across some amphibian articles looking at their immune responses to different water quality parameters. And then they were assessing which parameters were affecting them the most. And so piqued my interest as I'm interested in working with amphibians. And so eventually had gone out and done some surveys and looked at what amphibians were most prevalent at my sites. It turned out to be cricket frogs. And that's the beginning of where I am now.
Fantastic. So how long have you been at Arkansas State?
Similar to Emma, I've been here. I moved last August.
All right. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And why did you choose Arkansas State?
So as I was searching for graduate programs, I had focused in on amphibian ecology, but I kind of want to take a step back and get some more techniques. And so working in a water-based lab where we do a lot of EPA testing as well, it's an EPA-certified lab, we do a lot of contract testing, which I found really interesting. And so the ability to learn a bunch of new techniques, and the program was very interdisciplinary, really piqued my interest, and it kind of sealed the deal for me to come to Arkansas State University.
And we're glad you all are here at Arkansas State, for sure.
Thank you. We're glad to be here. Yeah.
Fantastic. You're listening to the Created State podcast here on KASU, and also Created State is making connections that count, and that's what really we're talking about here. And Dr. Bolden, as you take a look at all this, we talked a little bit about this before, but this is really about this, especially when Amber was talking about how she is able to talk with some of the farmers that are out in the fields and that, and I know Emma's done some of that too. That's really kind of what it's all about, is being able to kind of reach out and make some of those valuable connections.
Yes, it is. Communication is really important, and I know, you know, we communicate kind of indirectly through sending our results in to the granting agency and all, and then they come back to the farmers. But I think it's like one step removed. And so when you see people face to face and they understand more of what you're doing, and you're not this, you know, big bad guy from the water quality lab that's going to, you know, cut off their access to their water or whatever, it gives you a kind of, you know, one-to-one, just a personal relationship with it. And I think it's that helps with the understanding of why they need to implement conservation practices and how we measure the efficiency of those conservation practices.
You know, and I know that in this area of Arkansas, we were talking about, especially agricultural water, conservation is everything because of some of the challenges that there are when you're dealing with water conservation practices.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, they have, you know, they have local effects as well, because a lot of our, you know, in the Delta, our drinking water comes from groundwater, but our groundwater is recharged with the water that we use, and so you want relatively safe water recharging our aquifers, and then the rest of the state primarily uses surface water, and of course then surface water needs to be protected as well too, because we use it for drinking water. So it's used, you know, the primary use of water in Arkansas is agriculture, but we have to remember that we all use the same resource.
So as we kind of wrap this up a little bit, Emma, I want to start with you. Your thoughts on working with Dr. Bolden and how she's been kind of leading you and helping you in this research. What have been your thoughts on working with her and the collaboration process?
I think that Dr. Bolden has a lot of connections and a lot of opportunities for different projects, which has been super helpful. I've helped her with things outside of my own project. I've helped her with classwork, helping her students a little bit. And so it builds upon just, you know, getting a degree. It's also things that will help me in a career in the future, hopefully. So that's been really valuable for me.
Right. And the same thing for Amber.
So I really appreciated the amount of opportunities Dr. Bolden has given to us, whether it's through working with her class or her connections or getting her ideas when we go sit down and talk to her and kind of troubleshoot some of the issues going on with our research, because science is just a giant puzzle and nothing ever comes to you exactly as you think it should. It's always kind of a roundabout adventure sort of experience. And so that's something that I've really appreciated.
Fantastic.
With Dr. Bolden.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate y'all coming up and talking to us today here on the Created State podcast. Before I let y'all run, Dr. Bolden, anything else you would like to add about this, please?
No, I think we've got quite a few students. These are just two of my several students. I think I have seven in the lab right now. And they all do a really good job. We work together on a lot of projects, like they said. We are an EPA-certified lab, so we have a lot of, besides their project, they do a lot of work in the lab for municipalities and industries, you know, in the area as far as their water quality testing as well, too. And I think that it gives them, helps the lab out, but it also gives them a really good experience when they come from an EPA-certified lab that they've been through the quality assurance and quality control procedures that we discuss quite often. And I think it, you know, it adds to their resume or CV.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's something that'll be huge as you say, as you all go out into that amber, you know, as you start looking for careers.
Mm-hmm. It definitely will. It will definitely set you apart in a CV. And not only that, but you are exposed to some of these kind of undervalued topics like quality control and quality assurance. It's just something that you assume is going on, but a lot of people don't talk about. And it's kind of like an extra check in your scientific process to make sure everything is going as it should.
Yeah.
And I'll also add that even though we might not be working in the same exact type of lab in the future as a career, a lot of these skills are transferable. Just the knowledge of working in a lab and the procedures for even just cleaning glassware, you know, that's stuff that will be useful in any job related to science.
Dr. Jennifer Bolden and graduate students Emma Martin and Amber Spence on the Create at State podcast. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Create at State podcast at the Create at State podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play, or you can listen on the NPR app. And please tell others about the Create at State podcast. Also, leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Jonathan Reeves for Create at State and A-State Connections on KASU.